The Gist. An inquest into Maeve Boothby O'Neill's tragic death in 2021 has brought the elephant in the room, the plight of the severely ill ME/CFS patients, into sharp focus. Maeve's ME/CFS ultimately left her unable to eat or drink, and lacking proper care, she slowly starved to death. The coroner's conclusion that there is no known treatment for ME missed the point entirely. So have others who've implied that Maeve died of myalgic encephalomyelitis, or ME. Maeve was not asking for treatment, she was asking to be kept alive. Other people have been as sick as Maeve and survived. Other people have even been as sick as Maeve and fully recovered. She had herself admitted to the hospital 3 times in an attempt to resolve her malnutrition. After an attempt to use a nasogastric tube used at perhaps an inappropriately high volume failed because she vomited during her 3rd visit, the hospital, which was warned she was slowly starving to death, failed to intervene further. Other feeding options, such as NJ, PEG, PEJ tubes, total parenteral nutrition, or TPN, were not attempted. Some of them were rejected, rather bizarrely, because the doctors felt they would be, quote, unsafe, end quote. It's hard not to conclude that her doctor's preconceptions of her illness colored their treatment of Maeve. Several of her doctors at the hospital concluded she, quote, did not have a medical disease, end quote. Despite the hospital's assertion that it did not fail in its duty of care, nor that it did not miss opportunities to treat her, the coroner disagreed. She concluded that a healthcare professional should have been appointed to coordinate Maeve's care, and Maeve should have received a feeding tube after her 2nd admission to the hospital. The coroner's decision to file a prevention of future deaths report is potentially a landmark decision, as this is the first time an ME patient's death has provoked such a response. It indicates that she believed Maeve's death was preventable, that others are at risk, and hopefully sets the stage for institutional change. 3 years after her death, though, the medical director of Royal Devon University Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust reported that nothing had changed, that no care pathways had been created for the severely ill, that no beds were available for them either regionally or nationally, and that no work was underway to create care pathways. Most people in the ME/CFS community didn't have to look far to conclude that Maeve's death was preventable. Whitney Defoe's blog, Drops from the Well of Suffering, honoring Maeve Boothby O'Neill, Whitney described undergoing a similar situation with a very different result when he was treated with intravenous nutrition. Published the year before Maeve died, Spate's 2020 paper, Severe ME in Children, clearly outlined the dire problems with food intake that can occur and how helpful tube feeding can be. Spate wrote that the abdominal pain may be so severe as to interfere with nutrition, and that problems with eating and drinking may necessitate tube feeding. He described 3 very young 13-year-old patients for whom early tube feeding allowed them to survive, all of whom fully recovered later. Maeve died a death, a slow death from starvation, that one can hardly believe would happen in our modern age. How could such a thing occur? The answer? A lack of institutional awareness regarding the needs of the very severely ill with ME/CFS. The UK is not alone in this. A Norwegian survey found that when, quote, help, end quote, arrived, it often proved hurtful, as nurses sometimes exposed the severely ill to damaging stimuli that further exacerbated their condition. Writing from the US in 2021, Amber asserted in We Are Failing People with Very Severe ME/CFS, that the responsibility for getting better support for the very severely ill lay in the community that understood them best, the ME/CFS community. Indeed, up until 2021, no major ME/CFS reports warned that the severely ill may need intravenous feeding to survive. Since then, progress has been made. The 2021 paper caring for the patient with severe or very severe myalgic encephalomyelitis, chronic fatigue syndrome, and Mayo's 2023 Diagnosis and Management of Myalgic Encephalomyelitis, Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, confronts the malnutrition problem head-on. The severely ill are also slowly showing up in scientific journals. The Healthcare Journal in 2020 devoted an entire edition to them. Several journal articles in the past several years have focused on the experiences of the severely ill. The Open Medicine Foundation's Severe ME/CFS Big Data Project explored the physiology of the severely ill. A blog is coming up on that. In an essay at the end of the blog, Christian Kull likens the severely ill to the problem of Schrödinger's cat in quantum physics, where every attempt to analyze the cat changes it. In his story of his severely ill son's dilemma, Kull speaks to the tension between the need for medical care and research and the potential harm it can cause people with ME/CFS. Kull writes, "Unlike Schrödinger's cat, which is both dead and alive, we know that while people affected severely by ME/CFS are missing, they are very much alive. They suffer from a terrible illness and the worst quality of life. They are in need of all the attention they can get, for research and for individual care. Without the noise, the prodding, the poking, and the stress, we need to observe the cat without opening the box."